Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we celebrate this Sunday in the church, LWML Sunday, we have a text from John chapter 1. I'd like to read for you. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." This is our text. You ever been surprised? I was yesterday. She snuck up behind me and scared me. That was a surprise. She got me. But a surprise. Some surprises are quite pleasant, aren't they? And some surprises aren't really all that pleasant. Take, for instance, you know, walking through the park, you and your lovely young high school sweetheart, and the fellow drops to his knee and pulls out this little box and opens it. There's a ring. Well, that's a pleasant surprise. Now, there's another surprise that's pretty pleasant. We just enjoyed it last week. Was your daughter and her son, or your daughter and your son-in-law come to you and say, "Hey, we're having a baby." That's a pleasant surprise. But unexpected rain pours down and you're supposed to have an outdoor wedding. That's not a very pleasant surprise, is it? Or an optimistic job seeker, he just had what he considers the best interview of his life. It did wonderful. No doubt I've got this job. And you get the letter that says, "Sorry, we're considering someone else." Well, all surprises by definition are unexpected. But not all surprises are received in the same way either. People have vastly different reactions to the same surprise. The results, let's say, of the latest presidential election come out. Some are going to be pleased and celebrate, and others will lament and mourn. It's the way it goes. Or let's say a movie. You see a movie review that says, "Oh, it was a wonderful movie." You go to see it, and it stunk. Not all surprises are taken the same way. Perhaps you've heard of someone describe to you a new song saying, "People either like it or they hate it." What does that mean? But it's the same surprise, just a different response. So in this text about Philip and Nathanael that I just read from St. John's Gospel, we see and hear a surprise with different reactions. A surprise when they meet Jesus for the first time. We see two different reactions to the same surprise. Through his only son, God revealed his greatest surprise for a world in the darkness. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has come to dispel all this darkness. Yet we have now two entirely different reactions to this news. In this text, after calling Andrew and his brother Simon Peter, Jesus found Philip and called him to be a disciple too. He said, "Come, Follow me. After spending some time with Jesus, Philip learned the basics about this man from Galilee and shared the good news about him with Nathanael. We see great excitement in Philip's words in this text. He says, "We have found him whom Moses in the law and the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Philip is speaking as if he's found an invaluable treasure, and he's just got to tell everybody about it. He receives the news with a joyful heart. Philip sees Jesus through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, the eyes of faith he sees him. He has literally seen the light. What about Nathanael? Through the mouth of Philip, Nathanael hears of Jesus for the first time. But his reaction is entirely different from Philip's. We see no excitement upon Nathanael's hearing of the good news, rather a sense of suspicion in his voice about this Galilean Jesus. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathanael's reaction was not of joy. It wasn't a joyful attitude. It was more of a guarded sort of posture. He received the news with a cautious disposition at best, and a doubtful one at worst. Unlike Philip, Nathanael sees Jesus through the eyes of his flesh. Somewhere in that spectrum between disbelief and unbelief, he's literally in the dark. The light has yet to overcome it. So the question remains, can anything good come out of Nazareth in Galilee? And the odds seem to be against Galilee. You see, Galilee is in the northern province of Judea, and it's a land too close to unclean Gentiles, and it's too far away from holy Jerusalem. No self-respecting Judean Israelite would look for the Son of God to come out of Galilee. It just ain't happening. So unlike their counterparts in Judea, Galilean Jews, you see, they speak with strange accents, and they are known for less than a clean record of following prescribed Jewish laws. Why look for God's power and wisdom in Galilee? It makes no sense. Is not the great city of Jerusalem the real center of kingly power and that rabbinic wisdom? Are not God's holy temple and all the priests inside that holy city of Jerusalem? Are not the learned Pharisees and scribes too? In short, are not the clean, pure, and righteous Israelites to be found only in Jerusalem? Can God truly work out his salvation from such an unlikely place like Nazareth in Galilee? Guess what? God surprises us. We often look for power and wisdom in the wrong places. And the best we humans have to offer, we go looking for all this power and wisdom. And in our supposed holiness, purity, and righteousness, we don't find it. Yet it is Jesus of Nazareth, the unassuming man from Galilee, that we are called to see the power and wisdom of God at work in our lives. We're called to fix our eyes not on ourselves, but on Jesus. Not on our holiness, but on Jesus' holiness. We are reminded that we are not the light. Jesus is the light of the world. To the surprised and perplexed, to the cautious and the guarded, to those in disbelief and doubt, and those who are seeking answers, Jesus appears and invites them to fellowship with him. He says, "Come and you will see. Jesus asked you this morning, what are you seeking? Little Violet has received what she came to seek. Last week, little Cecily, she sought her Lord and found him here at the font. Many aimlessly wandering to church on Sunday mornings, not quite sure what they're seeking. And many come seeking just him who died to set them free. So this morning we hear Jesus' wonderful invitation to those seekers. He says, come and you will see. Nathanael's infamous words, can anything good come from Nazareth, are met with Philip's call to meet Jesus. He says, come and see. Any lingering questions and doubts Nathanael may have had about this man from Galilee eventually come to an end when Jesus himself appears to him and, to Nathanael's surprise, tells him exactly where he was before Philip called him. The light of Christ overcame the darkness of Nathanael's heart. Nathanael had now seen the light. Nathanael's infamous words are now replaced by his confession of faith. Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Good things do come out of Nazareth in Galilee, and in just a bit, out of ordinary elements of bread and wine, we share with one another the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. A not so unexpected surprise for those seeking Christ. Who are the Galileans of our day, huh? Who are the people in our neighborhoods who look and speak differently than us? Whose cultural ways may confound us? Who are those strange folks and those children of these folks who from different tribes, languages, and nations are in our midst, huh? Whom do we think from our narrow human perspective are the neighbors least likely to benefit from God's surprising news of salvation, huh? Who do we think? Who do we think, due to our closed-minded, sinful ways, are the neighbors least likely to receive God's gracious invitation into the life-giving kingdom of His Son? You see, we too can be a lot like Nathanael in our lives, doubtful about God and what He can do on behalf of and with our neighbors. You know, those who are living marginal lives in questionable places. How about those self-righteous Pharisaic parishioners of ours? Those among us who are cautiously optimistic about strangers coming into and serving in our churches, huh? Being guarded about inviting modern-day Galileans to be disciples of Christ with us for the sake of the world. When we think in these ways, we are the ones in the dark. We only see with the eyes of the flesh, and we close our hearts to the surprising and gracious ways in which God reveals His great love for our new neighbors, both near and far, through His Son. Yet God is merciful. He surprises us again and again and again, inviting us to see with the eyes of the Holy Spirit what mighty deeds He can do for the most unlikely places and among the most unlikely people. He calls us once again to see the light wherever He shines, even in Galilee, among these Galileans. When we ask ourselves, like Nathanael, can anything good come out of Syria? Can anything good come out of Russia? City or Chicago? Or how about those who wonder if anything good can come out of Columbia City? Our Lord Jesus Christ gently sends us to Philip, who invites us on behalf of his, come and see. Come and see that the Lord can do great things in and out of lowly Galilee. Through Philip, we are called anew to come and see that the love of God in Christ Jesus knows no ethnic, racial, linguistic, tribal, or geographical boundaries. What is the church but a beautiful fellowship of people just like those Galileans? A marginal people called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the sun. A people once dead raised to new life through faith in Christ Jesus, God's own Son. To strangers in our midst, okay? God reminds us that the church is nothing but a bunch of strangers who walk to a strange beat. We speak the ancient language of Holy Scripture. We initiate people into the church by sprinkling water on them. And this gives them the forgiveness of their sins. We eat and drink the blood of God's own Son at our altars. And we sing and dance to the tune of strange sounding hymns, canticles and songs to worship and praise our Heavenly Father. How odd! How surprising, huh? We too are strange Galileans. On this LWML Sunday, we rejoice in Jesus' calling and inviting us to come and see once again what he has graciously done in our lives, his great deeds of salvation on behalf of people like me and you. Today we also receive with great thanksgiving and awesome wonder Jesus' surprising invitation to come and see what he can do and is indeed doing even among strange neighbors in our midst to extend his kingdom throughout the world. We also ask the Lord Jesus to open our eyes to his surprising opportunities for partnership with brothers and sisters in Christ from different ethnic and language groups here in the United States and abroad, so that together we might invite even more neighbors to come and meet Jesus. Jesus, that man from Galilee and Nazareth, our light and life, in whose name we pray. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus. Amen.